Happy 2023, everybody. It is your favorite host of the Ozporn podcast, Pash B. And I have some very special news before we jump into today's episode. This year, we are going to ramp up and we're going to release two episodes a month. So that's one per fortnight. So get your panties in a twist because it's very exciting. You can listen to two episodes on repeat for, 1,000 hours. That's probably how much there is in a month. Don't fact check me. But please look forward to this year that we've got coming up. We have got lots of performers, lots of directors, and everyone who is everyone on the podcast. If you have anyone you would love to hear or any questions you would love me to ask, please send us an email at ozpornpod@gmail.com. And as always, please, 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 please leave us a 5-star review on wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us so much and it makes you very sexually attractive to me personally. Anyway, today we have the lovely, lovely, lovely Celeste Noir. Celeste Noir is a personal friend of mine. And she has done fucking everything. She has performed for multiple companies. She does makeup specifically for porn. And she's worked in recruitment. She's worked as a director, a photographer, an editor. She has done it all. And if you live in Melbourne and you work in porn, you know Celeste Noir. Without further ado, also she's like the best squad ever, but without further ado, here is Celeste Noir.
Have
Hi, Celeste.
Hello. How are you?
I am so good and so good at technology.
You are so good at technology. You got this all happening.
Thank you. I have never had a technological error in my life. Would you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
You're so smart.
It's actually my middle name. It's Pasha. Technology. Very smart. Technology, actually, that's my full name.
Very smart technology.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. Where's that from, Dal?
It's Arabic.
Ooh, beautiful. Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Similar to Jesus Christ, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes, very.
Yeah, oh, cool. I've heard of him before.
Yeah?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, I think he's on the TV.
Yeah, I think he works down at Coles.
Well, this has been a good podcast. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm feeling really good about everything. I'm sad.
So would you like to talk about pornography with me?
I'd love to. You know, it's probably the only thing I can talk about these days.
I feel the same.
We're very heavy in the industry right now, eh?
Yeah, I watch hardcore porn on my phone, on Twitter, on the bus.
Yes, right. Yeah. And you're just like, you don't even realize it. Like, even when I'm waiting for my doctor and I'll just be sitting on Twitter and just scrolling, and then like a whole arm is like, what's this?
Elbow. That's an elbow.
Elbow. I only know a genitalia. I don't know the rest of the body.
I was in Denmark a month ago with my elderly Uncle Court. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me how work is, and I showed him. And then afterwards I was like, maybe that's a little bit much.
No, it's hard to show off work because I feel like if people haven't been in the industry, they just see it as porn. Like, it is pornography, and you're like, don't you see the artistry? Look at that light.
I remember showing my like BTS photos of me working to my granddad, God rest his soul.
Rip.
And he loved them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't think he'd seen porn in like many a year.
Wow. Not since the magazines.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bless him.
So how did you get into porn?
I was like in my early 20s. No, I think I was 19 the first time I did some type of pornography. I was working as a barista and just working my ass off, and I didn't really have any sexual outlet apart from having sex with people. And, you know, that kind of gets boring after a while.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I found out about this erotic like photography gig, and I got into that, and I did that, and I absolutely loved it, and I got moved on to like a small video project, and then from there it went on to full porn, where it's just like me on a bed naked being filmed masturbating, and that was a massive deal for me. But I ended up working in model recruitment in porn for a while and kind of dabbling in doing some actual porn work. And then eventually I moved on to more, I wouldn't say hardcore porn, more,
I think,
porn.
Yeah. And that was with me.
That was with you. And I loved it. I loved it.
Me too.
And then we ended up working there together at Girls at West.
Yeah. Which was a lot of fun.
That was the best fun, honestly. What a dream team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great models, great crew, fun concepts.
Great me.
Great you.
Thank you. I just needed to hear that.
You were the best part of it all.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I need constant validation.
Same. So if you can chuck some my way every now and then, that'd be great.
I think you're beautiful.
Oh. Stop it. Don't be silly. But, so yeah, it's been a fun ride.
So you're a bit of a funny one because you have worked in like, you know, most facets of the industry.
Mm.
I think what's most interesting for me is your work as a makeup artist for some porners.
Some porners?
As soon as I said that, I didn't like that word. But like the porn version of like the word doggo, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Some
never going to say that ever again.
Don't. Not even doggo.
No, that's the worst word.
Stop trying to make porners happen.
Oh, don't say it again.
But yeah, I've kind of worked in all sides of porn. I've worked in recruitment, in filming, in modeling, in writing concepts, in set building, and now I'm doing a lot of makeup in the porn and in the sex industry.
So tell me about recruitment. Is it like, do you feel like a big daddy with a cigar going, you can do it, not you, and you can do it? Is that what it feels like?
I wanted it to feel like that, you know, but it doesn't feel like that. It's very, would you like to do this? You don't have to if you don't want to.
But I'll say we really need models.
We really need models. Please, yes. I'll give you a call back in 3 days. Please think about it. In recruitment, there is a lot of waiting around for people to kind of make decisions, which is so fair. You know, you don't want someone going into something without really considering everything that can come with being involved in porn. You know, there's the risk of things being leaked. Or,
oh, I think more than risk, the guarantee, really.
Yeah, it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's really no way to put something on the internet and guarantee that it's going to stay in that one spot forever.
Absolutely.
Especially if there's a booby involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mainly, in recruitment, would deal with, like, people that are brand new to the industry that have never even done, like, a photo shoot for fun before, like, closed. So, it was interesting experience for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get, I think, it's a funny ethical position when it's someone who, I worked in recruitment as well, and another friend of mine worked in recruitment, and she struggled quite a lot with very young models wanting to work who'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And she found herself like talking people out of it. And I don't know, I think like I entered the industry at 18, like I think I turned 18 like 4 months before. And in my experience, I was very, you know, able to make that decision. And I don't see why other 18-year-olds can't, but then now that I'm older as well, I can see her point of view. And it,
definitely.
It's a funny, it's a really funny one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know? Like, I think there was one model that we had that was, like, about to finish her degree in teaching.
Mm.
Like, I just really want to do porn just this one time. And we were like,
yeah, just one time could really shake things up in your life.
But, but you don't want to, like, obviously you can't, you know, people can make their own decisions and we're all big girls.
Exactly, exactly. And I think from 18-year-old to 18-year-old, like, there's so many different factors and so many different maturity levels between people that age, you know, from 18 years old to 19 years old, there's so much growth that happens in that time and even throughout your 20s as well. So it could be a deal of like 1 year you're like, fuck yeah, I want to do this, and the next year you're like, that was a really bad decision.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know, I do have a problem saying that 18 year olds shouldn't do porn, but then I also, now that I'm older, see, I know, it's a funny one. I think about that actually quite a lot.
Yeah, because you're like, you're capable of making that decision, but you just don't have the awareness of how far it can spread. And you don't have that knowledge of what kind of people you want to be working with and how you're supposed to be treated and whatnot.
Yeah.
Hmm. But what better way to learn than throwing yourself in the deep end, eh?
Yeah, baptism by fire, isn't it?
I feel like that's the only way to kind of really figure out if the industry is for you, is to like dive into the deep end and see how you swim.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's no real, like, realistically, there's not a particularly soft entry into the sex industry.
Absolutely not.
Except for maybe schnitz and tits. Schnitz and tits is pretty soft entry, don't you think?
Is that topless waitressing or something?
Do you not remember schnitz and tits?
I don't.
Schnitz and tits was a night in Melbourne that they did, like, I think once a month or something.
Oh.
That was like, it was topless waitressing.
Mm.
But it was like chicken schnitzel meals.
Delicious. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I don't think they do it anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah. Schnitz and tits.
That'd be really fun. And just correlating a chicken breast, like, crumbed. And what if they had like a little nipple cover that's like a little, like little breadcrumbs?
I don't know how on board I can get with savory food in a sexual way. I think there's a bit of a block for me.
Hmm, true. What about vegetables?
Only if they're phallic and being inserted.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like get off on it.
We've shot so much vegetable porn.
So much. If you've not watched Girls Out West before, there is a unbelievable amount of footage of girls putting different types of vegetables and fruits.
All different types. Exactly. Yeah. We like to have a range of different colours and, you know, just making sure the girls get their nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much of it.
There's heaps.
I wonder... I'm sure there's a name for it. I learnt just this week the name for armpit fetish is called, like, Michelangia.
Really?
That's not what it is, but it has those letters.
I'm just surprised it has a name.
It has a name.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I wish I had written that down somewhere so I could have a more informed discussion with you about this word.
It's okay, we can imagine the word. I'm just surprised. Yeah, there's a word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I wonder as well if there is a phobia word for it, like, you know, arachnophobia is spiders, maybe michelangia phobia.
Sounds right.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll get an email be like, actually, it's pronounced like this.
Have you never seen an armpit in your life?
No, I have not.
No, it's one thing we never see.
Now, something that you are pretty known for as a performer is your big, hard squirt.
Big old squirts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sound it makes.
Pretty much. Mine's kind of like a, sometimes it's a straightforward shooting of squirt, and other times it kind of comes out in a 360, like a full, like a rainbow of squirt. It's coming out in all directions, but kind of in a, is that 360? No, what's?
I think it's 180.
180. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
I really love when girls are squirting and they like put their hand on their clit and go,
yes.
And it goes everywhere. Like it goes like everywhere when they do that. I love that.
That's so fun.
I think that's the best.
Charlie's really good at those squirts.
Charlie Ford's really good at those squirts. You're very right.
Yeah.
God, I always forget that she's a squirter.
Big old squirter.
But you have particularly crazy squirts.
Mm.
They're so big.
They're very, very big.
There's so much liquid in them.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I tend to drink a stupid amount of water before I do any squirting scenes, just so I can make sure there's like enough liquid and then that good amount of force behind it. I think it's the force that's really, like you can do a squirt, but if it's like trickling out, it's fun to see, but it's not as impactful as seeing a squirt like really just projectiling out.
I agree. I think as well, like when as a performer, I think when you say, I'm going to squirt, it needs to be a really impressive squirt.
Yeah.
Because if you say, definitely. I'm about to squirt, and it's just like suddenly you're just in a puddle.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
It is a little bit, yeah.
You're like, oh.
See, I'm the same with cum shots. Like if I watch porn with a cum shot in it, or I'm like looking forward to getting off at the cum shot point, if it's like a little oozy one, I'm like, oh, bugger. Mm. But if it's like a shooter, that's the good shit.
Yeah, like I don't love watching cream pie stuff
because
I
want see.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also in my head I'm like, did you come or are you struggling right now? And someone's just put a bunch of liquid.
Giving away all the secrets. They're real cums every time.
But is squirt piss?
Great question.
I want your opinion on that because everyone has a slightly different opinion on it.
Yes, I know. And I love hearing everyone's opinions because my informed opinion is that it is about 95% piss.
It's so piss.
It's piss. It comes from the urethra. It comes from stimulating the bladder from inside the G-spot. Yeah, the bladder fills when you are squirting. So it's pee, and then there's that slight amount of liquid that's like a white milky texture that just comes out of the vagina. That occurs when you're just basically turned on.
Ooze. I like to call it ooze.
Yes, le ooze. Le ooze. But yeah, it's absolutely piss. That's why you really need to like flush out your system a bunch of times beforehand so that what's coming out isn't straight pee, you know, yellow stuff.
And not take your vitamins that morning.
Yes, I made that mistake before. Bright.
Fluorescent.
Fluorescent fucking yellow pee coming out. But I think because it's induced in a sexual way, I feel like it can be separated from having a piss, you know, or having an involuntary pee.
I think as well, like, I wonder if because we've given it the name squirt instead of, you know, I've uncontrollably pissed myself.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people really don't want to be pissed on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But give it another name and they're like, put it in my mouth. Rain on me.
Do you come when you squirt?
Yes. Every time I squirt, I come for sure.
And do you squirt every time you come?
No. Not every single time. I'd say about maybe 40% of the time my squirt's involuntary if I'm just trying to like have an orgasm but not trying to squirt for any reason. About like, 40% of the time it'll just happen. But most of the time I really do have to prep for it and kind of even just getting off a couple of times beforehand really helps the process along a bit.
I find that really helps with anal as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's my top tip for anal is come a couple of times first.
For sure, for sure. Do you think it maybe like relaxes the muscles or?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree for sure. Mm. Most of the time when I do anal, mainly for work now, I don't think I've actually had anal sex in a personal situation.
Oh, really?
In maybe 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Yeah, I always get my partner, probably scene partner or client, to like get me off clitorally first. And then it just kind of slips right in. If you stretch it up and lubed up, it just goes right in there.
Nothing you can't fit in there then.
It's true. It's true.
I read somewhere once that like the human anus can hold like 2 raccoons.
Whoa.
Can stretch enough to hold 2 raccoons.
How did they find that out?
That's what I wonder as well. It's like a very specific unit of measurement.
Are we talking full-grown raccoons?
I think full-grown raccoons.
Jeez, goddamn.
I've never seen a raccoon in real life. I've only seen them on the TV.
Yeah, on the old
TV. So I don't really know. I imagine they're the size of like a cat.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of really interesting things go up buttholes before. But a lot of I really want to fist my butthole.
Yeah, I'd love that as well.
I'm working up to it. But
Nutalex, weirdly.
Oh, true.
Nutalex is the absolute hands down best lube for
stretching.
For anal stretching, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good to know.
Like hands down.
I'm gonna be stopping in the Coles on the way home.
For those of our listeners who are not very Australian and also vegan, Nutalex is an Australian brand of butter that's made with oil instead of dairy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like frozen spreadable oil.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I like the buttery one. It's delicious.
I like Nutalex is such a huge part of like inner north share house culture.
Yes. It's true. It's true. You see a tub of Nutalex and you know there's at least one vegan there.
Yeah. Or you just know that you're in the inner north with someone between the ages of 18 and 35.
Yes. Yes. Very true.
In a share house.
Very true. The vegan culture is heavily embedded in the Melbourne culture, even if you aren't a vegan.
I think it is shifting now to like ethical hunting nose to tail kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know 2 vegan friends who've been vegan forever and in the last like 2 years are now like eating meat that like, you know, has been shot and killed by someone they know.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Which I'm super into.
Yeah, me too. I feel like if I was out, stuck out in the wild, like I could probably like kill a few birds and maybe like a small mammal if I was hungry enough.
I was in Oxfordshire just recently in the UK and that's where, and I was in Dorset as well, and there's a lot of pheasant hunting there.
Oh.
And I was there during, and partridge, and I was there during pheasant and partridge hunting season.
Wow.
And I saw a bunch of them and I was like, oh, I could go shoot these partridges and these pheasants.
Just getting really excited.
Yeah, my friend in Dorset has like a little retire, just like a failed hunting dog to retrieve partridges and pheasants. And I was
bless.
You and me, Poppy, we could make a great team. Yeah.
From porn to hunting.
I'm so into it.
Are we going to do a crossover? Of like, that could be a fun concept of is like someone like running through a forest and another person hunting them.
Yeah, that could be really hot.
Okay. And they think it's like a wild deer, but it's actually a naked woman.
And then they fuck.
And then they fuck.
I could fuck a wild deer.
Oh, wow. Oh, this just turned fucking triple R X rated. And I'm also dialing the police.
Who said that? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'm not fucking a wild deer. So hard left turn.
Very hard. Sharp.
You've worked as a full-time employee for 2 porn companies.
Yes.
9 to 5.
Absolutely, I did.
Did you find they operated very differently? They shoot, these 2 companies in Melbourne shoot almost exactly the same models.
Yeah,
in,
basically.
You know, the very similar aesthetic. Girls Out West shoots probably a lot more hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
But they're more or less the same company.
Yeah.
And they're only 10 minutes drive away from each other.
Yeah, convenient. Convenient. Yeah. You're trying to knock out multiple shoots in a day.
Yeah, and both of them share staff quite a lot.
Yes.
Did you find that they operated particularly differently?
Yeah, I do. I think the first company I worked for was a lot more, they had procedures for procedures. You know, everything was written out, every single step to every single task you do was set in stone. And you kind of have to abide by that. I think the recruitment process was a little different.
In what way?
In the way that they would kind of ease people into it, they would offer them some non-pornographic work first, and then if they were super great at that, then they would kind of move on and get more explicit as the time goes on, and you kind of like check in on them along the way, like, are you comfortable going this far? Are you comfortable going this far?
Oh, so like more steps.
Yeah, a more staggered approach to entering the porn industry. Whereas I feel like the other company was more so, this is all porn. Would you like to do porn? These are the things we do.
Would you like to get fucked on camera?
Yeah, basically. And I think that's how they operated differently. Yeah. I think with the first company, there's less involvement with the staff members in the production side of things.
Right.
Whereas for the second company, Girls Out West, it's all hands on deck, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you walk through that door, you're going to have a camera in your hands, you know. And I think I much preferred it there because it's just much more hands on and structured enough. You know, I think too much structure takes away from the kind of flow of things, especially when it's what's that word? Especially when it's it's gone. Sorry.
It feels quite bureaucratic when you do have procedures for procedures for procedures.
Yeah, yeah. In a sexual context, like, I think having things set out like, this is the way it goes every single time doesn't really work, because in sex and for I'm really struggling to word this. I think in sexual context for people, like, it's such an ever-changing thing. Like, no one person is like horny all of the time or feel like talking about certain things all the time. You know, you have to be really flexible around people's emotions and just the general vibe that they're bringing on the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
How would you describe a week of working in a porn production company?
Golly gosh. It is all go. From the moment you kind of walk through the door, it's all go. I think at Girls Out West, what was I doing? I think I was working there 4 days a week. And the first day was always just admin, editing stuff from the week before and organizing all the shoots for the week. But there I was kind of had my finger dipped in all the different pies in the company.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like going hard on the editing, and then after that it'd be like organizing the concepts with the crew and then set building and making sure we've got all the props that we need and the outfits, and it's just a constant stream of just like little tasks of like organizing things for the next day, organizing things for the next week, calling people to ask questions like, how do you feel about putting a cucumber up your ass? And how big of a cucumber should I buy? It's a lot of veggie shop trips.
Yes.
So many. But yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed the variety of tasks that I was doing there.
And you were modeling at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
When booking in a girl, I guess you'd have, you know, a little more say than the average model who doesn't work in the company.
Mm.
Did you like was it a weird feeling like picking models to work with? Like, did it feel kind of sugar bowl-y or?
Yeah, a little bit. working with models that I'd shot before was definitely something new to me. But I generally just choose people that I got along with really well and I was able to have really open conversations with, like, before their shoots.
Yeah.
So I was able to, like, or the complete opposite, people I hadn't met through the company before, I hadn't shot them before.
Yeah.
I found that quite comfortable as well because it's like I haven't dealt with you in a professional sense.
Yeah.
But I think it's different because I have been a model in the industry for so long. So most people had that understanding of like...
That you're already a model.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to like shoot people and be like, ah, oh, she's got nice tits. I'm going to fuck her. Not using it as my personal dating service yeah. like like some people do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm not a performer. Mm. But I think if I were to cross into performing, I would feel super weird.
Yeah. Yep.
About, you know, hiring anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You definitely have a degree. Like the power dynamic.
That's it.
When
that's
you're directing it. Someone is very, very different.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why it's so chill for me is because the models know that I've been there and done that and it's my job and my profession. You know, there's no... I don't want to say there's no emotion going into it, but there's no intent there, you know. The only intent is to have good sex and get paid yeah. for that, you know, and make a great video.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people feel quite comfy around me, which I'm very, very, very grateful for.
I think you're a comfy gal.
Oh, I'm just a comfy lady.
You're a comfy lady. Oh, geez,
I did my best. That's why I do well on all sides of the camera.
And you're doing OnlyFans now.
I sure am. Yes, yes.
Are you still working for companies or are you only OnlyFans?
I am doing some makeup work for Charlie Ford. Yeah. And I recently shot the behind the scenes footage for her big feature film, which was so much fun. Loved it.
We had a great time on that.
Yes, it was brilliant. Boy.
And how do you find, do you like doing BTS?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it because I feel like in life I am a bit more of an observer and I love seeing little candid moments or when people are sitting down and chilling and I can see there's lots on their mind. It's like, okay, let's go in there and ask them some questions. Or I love hearing what people have to say as well and I love talking to them about how they're feeling, what they're looking forward to, what's going through their mind and all that kind of stuff. So... yeah, I really loved it. I really loved it.
I think it's really fun. I've done BTS for a feature before many moons ago for Light Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it was just really fun because, like, it's not that you have no responsibility, yeah. but it's kind of hard to fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it.
And yeah. you can be a bit silly and a bit fun and just kind of like... float around and like hang out and not have the stress of like anything.
I know. Yeah, that's it. I think my only stress was to go fetch some baby wipes every now and then. I was like, oh, yeah. God damn it. But no, I had a ball.
Yeah, and for this feature, Homeward Bound, it was called, for charlieford.com.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. Ooh. You're very welcome. all the crew and all the performers all stayed in a big, huge house out in the Victorian countryside for a few days together.
Yeah,
and it was wholesome. Really nice. Yeah.
Why was it so wholesome?
It was really nice.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was so nice just sitting by the fire at the end of the day. Staring out onto the lake, you know, having a glass of wine and just talking about life stuff with a bunch of porn performers.
Yeah.
A bunch of porners.
Don't ever say that word again. That's like the only thing on my 2023 no list.
Okay.
Is the word porner.
Porner in the corner. That's the new name of the podcast, everyone.
Oh, did you like that I used a Gen Z internet word there?
Yeah.
2023 ins.
Yeah.
I've seen people much younger than me saying that on Instagram.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, very trendy.
I know. Thank you.
Oh, next you'll be on TikTok saying what's in for 2024.
I'll be on TikTok dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you on TikTok with a spider bite now?
Oh, yeah, I am on someone's TikTok with a spider bite.
Yeah. Australia. Have you ever heard someone being bitten by bugs during a porn shoot?
Yes.
Oh, what kind of bugs?
Had a bee sting.
Oh, shit.
And someone gets stung on the bum.
On the butt.
Oh, yeah, it was a...
Far out.
A gentleman got stung on the bum.
Oh, dear.
While he was getting a blowjob, and he was very upset about it.
Oh, no. Yes. I can't imagine anything worse. How do you keep a boner after that?
Oh, you had a very long break.
Ah, yeah.
And he was quite frustrated. He was like, what did you get off with?
Oh, God.
And I think we've had a few ant bites.
Yeah, but yeah.
I can't think of anything else. I think a leech would be the worst one. But also you need to have a leech on for a while.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really hurt, do they?
It's more like they piss blood out everywhere afterwards.
Blood.
Mm. Blood. I do like the idea of getting leeches all over your body for, like, they say it's wellness or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It gets rid of, like, the bad blood or whatever.
Yeah. Or bruises? Do they get rid of bruises? I feel like they get rid of bruises because that's just pooled blood, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Fuck. Maybe I need to try that.
Yeah, before a shoot, go buy yourself a bunch of leeches.
Yes. It's hard being a porn performer as, like, one of the clumsiest people in Melbourne. So I just constantly have bruises on my knees and not from what I'd like it to be from.
Which is sucking dick.
Sucking dick, exactly. Mm. Or sucking clit. Whatever genitalia is at my head level at the time.
I was at work this week and I was directing these two ladies.
Mm.
And we're trying to get to the oral sex segment of a photo set. Mm. And I asked her to suck some pussy. Mm. And afterwards I was like, don't love that.
Sucking pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sucking clit's nice.
See, I like the sound of sucking a pussy.
Yeah, I like the sound of sucking a clit, but sucking a pussy, I feel like sounds like something that someone would send me on Instagram from like a faceless, nameless account with no followers.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah. And the name's like Dave62117732180.
Not Dave.
Like, I would have sucked your pussy. Yeah. It just feels like a very male thing to say.
I got this comment on one of my photos on Instagram the other day that just cracked me up. He posted, it was a picture of my titties with, I had a bikini on, and this guy comments, big size. And, like, that just made me laugh so much. But then 9 hours later, he responded to his own comment saying, I need milk. It just fucking got me. Like, he's just sitting there for 9 hours just, like, thinking about it. Like, God damn, I need some milk. I'm sorry to inform you all, there are no milk. There's no milk inside my boobies.
I have a work Instagram, which is just like photos of my work. It's not a single photo. Like, every photo is a photo of like a different girl. And I get messages constantly of people thinking that I am one person.
They think you're just all of them.
I get them constantly. And they always make me laugh because it's like, where? Like, what are you looking at?
Yeah. They must just see the one photo and decide to message. Like, they don't even look through the profile. Yeah. I get that on the Girls Out West Insta as well.
Yeah.
People would contact them, even though there's, like, thousands of photos of all very different people. They'd be like, hey, baby, I love you so much.
I would really love to hang out with one of these, like, weird faceless, like, reply guys.
Mm.
Because
you just made a lot of people's days.
I just want to know who these people are. Yeah. There's so many of them and they're so weird.
They're around us all the time.
Like, do they function in regular society fine? Are they people that we know? Are they our dads? Like, I want to know who they are.
They're definitely dads.
Yeah, I reckon.
Definitely dads. I imagine, like, they're people that got married quite young and perhaps divorced as well. You know, married once, never really learned how to talk to a woman, just wants boob and ass.
I think about it, like, when I worked at the club, I met really creepy dudes. I always, like, wanted to know what the inside of their house looked like.
Mm.
Like, what their kitchens looked like in particular. Like,
true.
I think about it. I still think about that all the time.
You know what? Sometimes during my full service work, I can smell people's houses, like in their hair, or in like. Because for some reason, people don't wash their frickin' necks. Like, wash your neck, people. I like to go there. That's one of my favorite spots. But I tend to smell a lot of people's
necks.
Yeah, well, I'd like to kiss there. I'd like to nibble there, you know, that kind of thing. But that's where a lot of scents are kind of stored, is like in the hair, maybe potentially behind the ear. I don't know. That's, I don't even want to think about it. I want to think about someone's rear ear
smell.
But sometimes there's like nostalgic smells. Like I can smell someone's house that I would have been in, like, you know, when I was a kid or something.
That's interesting.
And it's really bizarre, yeah. And like I can see what their house looks like, you know.
That's funny. I was on a tram a few, oh God, this was a while ago. But it was like 7:30 in the morning on this tram going into the city. And the dude next to me had such a strong smell of dim sims.
Oh, dear. Gosh.
And I was like,
that's a step below sausage roll.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which is the all-time worst smell a person can have on them.
I know. I don't get it.
But I was thinking the whole tram ride, and now like a year later, like 2 years later, all I can think about is like, how do you smell so strongly of dim sims?
Maybe he had one in his pocket.
But it was 7:30 in the morning. Where did he get it from? You can't get a dim sim at 7:30 in the morning or earlier. It was earlier. Sure. He must have had it.
Steamed them at home.
But you can't have them at home. They're not a home food.
Yes, they are.
How would you source them at home?
You can get big frozen bags of dimmies.
Fuck off. No, you can't.
You can. But I've got half a bag in my freezer at home right now.
You're joking. How I'm do not you joking. Cook them?
You steam them. Or you can deep fry them, but I like to steam them and then I chop them in half and I put them on a really hot pan and they get real crispy.
Oh, yeah, I could get amongst that.
Mm.
But also, like, is this man having – well, I guess that solves that mystery because I was like, where have you gotten these dim sims from? He smelled so strong. It was like I was standing next to, like, a man-sized dim sim.
Oh, wow.
But he must have had them for breakfast.
Wow. And I feel like if you burp after a dim sim, you can still smell and taste it.
And I can't think of anything that's like less understandable as a breakfast food. Like leftovers I can understand. Like leftover pizza, even like leftover pasta.
Yeah.
Even like a leftover steak or something that's been reheated. I can like, you know, steak and eggs as a breakfast food. I can get amongst that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But dim sims for breakfast that you've sourced on your own, I just can't think of anything less – like I feel like ice cream would be more appropriate for breakfast.
Yeah. No, I agree.
He'd eaten a lot of dim sims as well with how strong his dim sim smell was.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, see, that just makes me think of sausage rolls on the train. That's the first thing I think of.
The absolute worst.
If someone
smell.
Brings a sausage roll and tomato sauce onto a train, they need to be spoken to, like one-on-one, taken off the train and being like, mate, you don't understand.
I would get off the train and I would wait 20 minutes for the next train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would definitely. I would not be that late to a shoot. I take that back.
Mm.
I'd just be really angry about it the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. It's when the masks come in handy.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I'm still loving the masks.
I know. I see you wearing a mask all the time at work.
Yeah, I mean, because I wore them all through lockdown when I was doing makeup, now if I'm like 15 centimeters away from someone's face without a mask on, I feel so fucking rude. I feel so exposed.
And you're like,
especially if we're talking, because I'm quite a chatty bitch. And if my client's talking to me, I will gas bag my head off throughout the whole thing. And so I just feel bad being so close to someone's face and just I don't know, breathing in their face now. So I just keep them on at work because it feels, I don't know, it feels polite.
I hate wearing a mask. It fogs my glasses up every time.
Of course, yeah.
I hate it. And I remember when we were on our like mask thing that we had to wear them constantly, I would like tear it off my face as soon as I got in the car. Like I just had like 12 hours of surgery.
Yeah. No, for real. I remember some of our shoots on like 38 degree days and we're just there like sweating inside our masks.
And we're all
using. I had so many meltdowns of just like, I can't breathe. I've got sweat dripping down me everywhere.
I don't think I've ever like been as aware of my breath. Mm. As well with the mask on, you can really smell your, like taste your own breath.
You learn a lot about your mouth through wearing a mask, for sure.
I was constantly buying like iced coffees or like even like a bottle of water so I could walk around with a beverage so I could keep it down.
Yeah, exactly.
But on makeup, is it very different doing porn makeup to doing other makeup?
Absolutely. I think when you're doing makeup for porn, you're kind of applying it so it can be rubbed off.
Yeah.
What I do with like makeup for sex work, makeup for porn, is that if the makeup comes off, it won't be like such a stark difference. Like it's not going to look like you've rubbed off half a mask or anything like that. Because I've learned makeup for TV and movies and that kind of thing. And so I apply that, but then I have to think about what happens when the makeup, when the model rubs her face over someone's titties or over their groin or something like that.
Yeah, you don't want to have an imprint as well.
Yeah. And like if it's a BJ scene, like do we want the mascara to be running and dripping everywhere? Do we want lipstick to be smeared all over the face or do we want to make it, you know, nice and neat or things like that. So there's a few more things you have to consider before doing makeup for a porno.
I think lipstick in porn is always so funny because when you do, you're like, yeah, it'll smear and it'll be really hot and then they kiss for like 3 seconds and they just look like they've both eaten a big bowl of bolognese.
Yes. It's just the red stain around the mouth.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like sexy and smeared. It just looks like they've eaten bolognese with their hands.
The last shoot I did, I went in with a full red lip and came out with nothing. It was gone.
Oh, yeah. Not even around your face.
Nothing.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. I remember kissing a titty and there was an imprint on the titty and then suddenly we're at the end of the scene and I've got... Yeah, not even a smear. There's a Kat Von D one, if anyone's wondering.
Interesting.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever tried intentionally to get pregnant, but when someone...
No.
When you're trying to get pregnant, you do this funny little thing where you've, like, got a pussy full of semen and you kind of, like, put your legs up.
Yes.
So it will stay down for a bit. And if you do that for long enough, when you stand up, it's gone. It's just gone.
Oh, I don't know if I like
it's
that.
It's been absorbed.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You just got semen just hanging up there. Just eats it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hungry uterus.
Oh, dear. No, I feel like as soon as I get a load to the pussy, I'm straight to the bathroom scooping it out.
Mm. Like a cowboy? Do you walk like a cowboy? Or do you walk with your leg, like your thighs touching?
Oh, no, I do. I cup my pussy and run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the cup and run.
You know. Is there... It's a classic Celeste Noir move. On the makeup that schmears, what's the secret to facial-proof makeup?
Facial proof makeup.
Yeah, like a big old load to the face proof makeup.
Well, that's a good question. I think obviously you want to use waterproof makeup wherever you can. Waterproof mascara, waterproof liner if you're wearing liner. I think with foundations and depending on, it's getting pretty sciencey here, the pH level of the cum as well and how much kind of water content it's got in it.
That's interesting. I never thought, I guess every liquid has a pH level, but I never thought of cum having a pH level.
Yeah, I found like cum breaks down some cums break down some foundations where there's some foundations that'll like last a bit longer and are pretty like water resistant and that kind of thing. But
right.
Yeah. I think depending on how long that comes on the face as well. But it'll generally break down any skin products.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The only like sciencey thing I know about cum is that you shouldn't wash it off with cold water. Oh, with hot water.
Ah, explain.
It coagulates with hot water.
Ooh.
My friend who did a science degree told me that. Wow. And I was like, oh, because when you wash it off with hot water,
yeah,
the heat does something to it, and that's what makes it go kind of like,
oh my god, funny. This explains so much.
So if you wash it off with cold water, it'll just come off.
Yeah.
But hot water makes it go weird and stay everywhere.
Oh my god, pro tips.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah, always use cold water because hot water fucks it.
I feel like if I get cum on my body or something, I'll go straight to the shower, have a hot shower. It gets this weird tackiness to it.
Yeah,
it goes. I don't even know how
to
explain it.
Yeah.
Cum is the strangest liquid. I how do you even describe the viscosity?
Viscous. Viscous. But also ovulation, pussy ooze is quite similar.
Yes.
To like a thick cum.
True.
It's almost like a jelly, actually.
Yeah. Have you ever seen somebody have that jelly-like, a jelly-like discharge during a porn shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your view on that? Do you think we need to normalize that, or is that something we should keep out of porn?
Well, it is ovulation.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm. I don't know. There's so much shit that comes out of pussies. I think it can be polarizing. Like, I think people are either like super into a creamy pussy or super turned off by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, personally, when I watch porn, I don't love watching creamy pussies.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a bit of a creamy pussy, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but I know that a lot of audiences love a creamy pussy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think it's really one or the other. I think it's probably the same with like gaping or like sticky facials. True. Or bukkake.
Yeah. So have you ever had that discharge that comes out like it's almost like gelatinous?
Yeah, that's ovulation discharge.
Yeah. I've seen that come out of someone once, and after I called cut, she kind of like reached down and she felt it, and she's like, oh fuck, like I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, you know, I really want to show all the different types of things that come out. And she's like, no, I'm actually so self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so fair.
I've had a plug come out of someone's pussy before. Mm. Like, they're getting really creamy and then it was just like one whole solid piece.
Oh, true.
And
actually, I've seen that before as well.
Yeah, I pointed that out and they're like, oh, it's my IUD. This happens like once every couple months.
Ah.
And I was like, huh.
Wow.
We are playing God.
We really are playing God. See, I'm out here freeballing, no birth control, nothing. Just hoping for the best.
No, since I've been off birth control, I'm like, well, I guess this is what I'm like.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was 14 and had my first kiss and I told Mum about it, she told Dad, and they were like, get her on birth control right now. She's going to have sex. which I did immediately.
That afternoon.
As soon as I could. I was on it. It turned me into a monster, like an absolute monster. Did it have mental effects on you, or like hormonal, emotional effects on you? Because I found it really like messed with me.
I've been on birth control since I was about 12 years old.
Wow.
My mum put me on it immediately after I got my period.
Yeah.
Because my doctor wanted me to gain weight because I was a skinny, skinny gal.
A little scrawny.
And my mum was really funny. She was like, what is the most expensive birth control? And they were like, Yasmin. She was like, that's the one we'll get.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the really, really bad one? Or am I thinking of something else?
I think they're all... like, it just takes such a long time to find what works for you.
Mm.
But I think I've been on maybe 7 different brands.
Yeah.
The last, like, 4 brands I've been on.
Just the pill?
I've had a Mirena.
Yeah.
Which I loved not getting a period.
Mm.
Hated the amount of weight I gained on it.
Yeah.
I gained, like, 30 kilos in 3 months.
Wow. Is it working, like... I don't know if this is true or not, but does it like trick your body into thinking it's pregnant so it doesn't get the period?
I can't remember.
And then like...
I think it like releases something. I can't remember. It releases... Yeah. It is a hormonal IUD.
Yeah, yeah.
It does release the hormones, I guess. Mm. I know the copper one just like zaps all the sperms like like a bug killer.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Marina was... I had such a hard time with the Marina because when I decided to get it out, like no GP wanted to touch it.
Oh, dear.
I was calling them up like... Every fucking GP in the inner north I called up to remove my ID and they're like, oh, no.
Oh, God, why?
Yeah, I like, had to go on like a Facebook like group for like endometriosis and was like, does anyone have a doctor who could remove the Marina? And I like Googled how to do it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it was a whole thing.
Oh, my golly.
Anyway,
oh dear.
Back to porn.
Oh. my cervix is aching.
Yeah. Mine's tingling. I've got a few questions I'd like to ask you that I do ask every person.
Let's go.
So question one.
Ooh.
What do you think the main difference between the Aussie industry and the American industry is?
Ooh, I think in Australia we're much more of like a homegrown kind of vibe. It's much less kind of scripted stuff. I think in the US, because it's such an established industry, they've got it to an extreme professional level where it's such high production. And... I feel like a little bit of love gets lost in it because it is such a professional, like bustling industry. And a lot of people are doing it as their full-time job. Whereas in Australia, it's really hard to make a career out of, porn performance. So I feel like people put a little bit more of their soul into it, a little bit more love perhaps. And we seem to have a bit more of like a laid back vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of like go with the flow. From my experience really, yeah. Yeah. And we seem to have a really diverse range of models in our kind of seem to have a bit more diversity in our top models, if you want to call them that. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel like with the production companies, it's a bit more grassroots approach and very Australiana, whereas we kind of try to focus it on being Australian, whereas in the US they're not being like...
We're American.
We're American. I want to put a hot dog in my ass. So I think we focus a lot on making it Australian and very homegrown and hey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. If someone wanted to enter the Australian industry, where would you point them?
I would point them, I think to start off, I think it's really important to do it yourself, I think, in the porn industry.
Okay.
Unless you're ready to jump in and just like go for it, I'd say shooting yourself, like you don't even have to publish it anywhere, but even just like filming yourself masturbating to completion or having someone fuck you until you both come or something, and then sitting there and even just like you don't even have to review it explicitly, but just looking over it and seeing how you feel just having that in existence is a good way to start. You know, if you find yourself panicking about it a couple of days later, like, oh, what if someone goes through my drawers and finds the memory card?
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably not going to have a good time in porn. But I think if you feel safe and comfortable with that content existing, then you're probably going to be okay with it. But I'd direct them to, any of the companies. Any of them, they're all really good. I'd recommend I'd recommend starting a Twitter first, actually.
Yeah.
And testing out how you feel. Like, I wouldn't recommend going straight for company work if you're just getting into it. I think testing the waters first on a very personal level is really important. And then researching every company and producer in the area and really kind of figuring out which style you want to go for, what kind of people you want to work with, and asking as many questions as you can. It can be hard to nail down a porn performer to ask them questions about the industry, but if you can, 100% do that for sure.
Or listen to this podcast.
Or listen to this podcast and get the goss.
What do you think the main selling point of Australian porn is? Apart from Celeste Noir.
Well, apart from me, there's my other name, Ginny. She's really good. I think, wait, what was the question? What sets us apart?
What's the main selling point?
The main selling point. I think that natural grassroots kind of vibe is very, is a big selling point here. I think having a lot of, we have a heck load of hairy models.
We do, got a shitload of hairy models.
Yeah, I get a lot of comments like, is it just women in Australia that are hairy? Like, why are there so many hairy women down there? And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
With like such beach culture and stuff.
I had a good chat to Lainey Day about this. Yeah. You know, and it's like, what came first? Like,
yeah,
the Australian industry or the hairy woman, you know? Like, true. Which yeah. which has influenced which?
Yeah. See, that's such a good question. And I wish I had more insight into it.
Like my friends who aren't in the adult industry, none of them have pussy hair, like none of them have bush.
Yeah, I don't know many people outside of the industry that have a full bush.
Yeah.
Most women and people with vaginas that I know shave clean.
Yeah, same here.
So I think it's just hairy bitches love to do porn.
Or, you know, is there so much hairy porn already that, you know, you kind of need to be hairy in our industry? Mm,
true.
Chicken egg. Chicken, it's true. Egg.
I grew up my armpit for hair for porn.
Yeah.
And now I am so attached to it. I don't want to get rid of
it. And last but not least, what is your dream scene?
Dream scene.
Yeah. If you had all the money in the world and who would star in it?
Okay. Ooh, who would star in it? Oh, dear. Okay. My brain is going crazy right now. You know what would be really fun is like something out in the middle of the forest at nighttime. We've got a fire going and then there's kind of just like a table-y bed kind of vibe. And one person is on the bed, me. And I've got like maybe a dozen people there. And
Who are they?
Okay, good question.
By name.
I haven't thought about whomst. I would get a bunch of women that look like me. So Dylan, I can't remember your last name, Dylan, I'm so sorry. Greta, Des Graves, Luna Black. Who else is there that looks like me?
Charlie Chaos,
who I'm going to be meeting very soon for a collab. Very excited. And then I'd love to have some like hot trans babe. It's a hot trans babe called, what's her name?
Thinking of Danica?
No. Danica. Oh, I mean, that would be, yeah, no, Danica can come. And as for men, oh, you know me and Caleb. Love Caleb.
Which he's Caleb, sorry?
Caleb Arcane.
Yeah.
Such a hottie, big hottie. And then, God, I'm really blanking on names right now.
There's a lot of people.
There are so many great performers. Oh, Nio, absolutely. Jesse Nio. And even Jaden or Sai.
Yeah.
They would have to be there too.
Okay.
They can be like the priestesses.
This is a very goth.
yeah. This fantasy constantly changes between like just me on a bed and it's just like all women. But the fantasy is constantly changing. I'm really grabbing my gothic roots these days.
Is it a gangbang or is it an orgy?
No, it's kind of like a like a worship kind of thing. So they're like worshiping my body and everybody's keeping their hands and their bits busy trying to get me to like the strongest orgasm that I can possibly have.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think cool. It'd be fun. I think it'd be magical and really hot. And then after I come, then everyone can have sex. But I'm the main course, you know what I mean?
Everyone else is the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. Mm. So that's all we've got time for, Celeste Noir.
Yeah, yeah,
is there anything that you would like to plug?
I'd love to plug my Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is CelesteNoir.x. Twitter is CelesteNoir2 because Celeste Noir was taken.
And Celeste Noir 1.
And Celeste Noir 1 was taken. So mean. So Celeste Noir 2 on OnlyFans. It's just simply Celeste Noir. And I've got a couple of different mini series going on there. I've got one called Pleasure Diaries where it comes out in two parts. The first part is a chat and I just talk about how I'm feeling and talking about the video that I'm about to shoot. And then obviously part two is the meat. dare I say the meat. And then the other one is called Pleasure Focus, where it's just short videos focused on one thing. And I've got some collabs coming up, which is very good. Got some girl, got some boy girl coming up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've never ever seen you in a boy girl.
No. I've shot some personal stuff before. But I ended up deleting it because I realized I didn't have the documentation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah, when you're doing OnlyFans and you've got a partner and that kind of stuff, you're like, yeah, let's just shoot some porn and put it on the internet. But that's where things can go wrong because you're not thinking about the documentation or having photos of IDs and that kind of thing. So I just deleted them because I was like, it's not worth having it out there. But that's all I have to plug. Oh, I recently got TikTok.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it videos of you dancing around while it says, like, things I ate today? I don't know. I don't know what TikTok is. I don't understand it.
There are videos of me dancing.
Oh.
Yeah. And one of them, I fall down.
Whoa.
And you can see my butt.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
And it was unplanned too, but, you know, you get to see some butt crack and, like, that's really fun.
It is fun. I've never seen a butt crack before, so I'll definitely check that
out. Neither have I. What's a butt crack? Mm. Anyway, that one is CelesteNoir.x as well.
Mm.
And it's very fun. We have fun on TikTok.
Cool.
Yes.
Maybe I'll download it on my phone and I'll give in.
You need to do it.
I might.
It's just the place to be right now. It's the new Instagram.
Don't tell me that.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I only want to be young and beautiful and on trend.
You are, doll.
Thank you.
Are. Look at those pants.
I did get
ID'd. If only you could all see those pants.
Mm. I've unbuttoned them because I brought them a size too small and I'm trying to stretch them, but I can't sit down.
Very 2000.
No, it's not.
You need
no,
a... Not. No, but that's in. It's fine. It's fine. We're recycling. We're going back.
I don't understand anything. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And thanks. I'll chat to you soon.
I'll chat to you as soon as you stop recording, probably.
Yeah, then we'll go our ways. All thanks right. For listening, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.